Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Let's turn to Luke chapter 15. And we're still in verse 13. It's an inexhaustible well. It's a bit like the widow's barrel in the days of Elijah. When we think we're finished, we look at the verse again, and lo and behold, there's still a handful there for us to feed our souls upon. The verse 13 says, "And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together and took his journey into a far country, and there wasted his substance with riotous living." We were talking Tuesday about his wasting of that which his father had given him. What a sad thing that is. Surely it must be one of the griefs of hell for sinners that they wasted wonderful opportunities. What are the thoughts, for instance, of Judas Iscariot today? For he's in hell, and he has a very, very clear memory, a perfect memory, of the 3 years of opportunity he had in the company of the Lord Jesus. He can remember every word the Savior spoke. He can remember every tugging that there was at his heart as he listened to what the Savior said. He can remember every thought that arose within him at that time as he pondered what the Savior said and thought to himself, "I should obey him." For I'm sure those thoughts did arise in his heart. He has a perfect memory of all those things. And what a deep, deep, deep sense of his wasting those opportunities. And of course, it's not just Judas that has such thoughts. Everyone in hell will have a sense to some degree or other of the wasted opportunities. The wasted opportunity. Not everyone had the opportunities of Judas. And not everyone has the opportunities you have had. I hardly find words to describe how God has privileged you to hear his word presented to you every day. And not just in assemblies, but I'm sure in the classroom there has been reference to the word of God. No matter what the subject that is being taught, there is always a link between that subject and the word of God. That subject and the Lord. And you have been privileged to have had these matters brought before you again and again and again and again. Oh, I hope you haven't wasted them. I hope you haven't wasted them. I want to say this, first of all, this morning, that life can only be profitably lived when we obey the gospel. When we obey the gospel. It's only by obeying the gospel that at the end of our life, there will be profit. There will be something to show for our living. Just over a week ago, or thereabouts, there was a lot of snow about here, and you enjoyed it. Oh, I could see you from our kitchen window, pelting one another. Some of you didn't seem to like being pelted, whereas others seemed to love the pelting. But hey, where's the snow today? Gone. It's gone. Just all gone. There might be a little trace here and there, behind the hedge, in a little hollow. But generally speaking, it's all gone. It's wasted away. There are so many who live under the gospel all their days, and at the end of their life, there's not a bit sign of them having had such privileges. Nothing to show for the pouring out upon them of opportunity after opportunity to close with Christ and enjoy the benefits that he and he alone can bring. I tell you, you'll have nothing to show for your life if you do not obey the gospel. Nothing. Nothing to show. There's a verse of scripture that throughout my lifetime has come to me again and again and again. And it's found in Proverbs chapter 10 and the verse 22. You know it. "The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich." You'll never be rich if you don't embrace the blessing of the Lord. You'll never be rich. You'll never truly be rich. There's only one form of riches, you know, that travel beyond the grave. All other riches are left behind. There's men in this world have millions and millions and millions, billions of pounds. So much so that they don't know how much they have. And one of the reasons they don't know how much they have is that they have so much and it is generating more all the time. They can't keep up with the amount of money that is building up in their accounts, but not one penny of it will accompany them into eternity. They'll leave it all behind. And if that's all their life consisted of, they will go into eternity with nothing. But on the other hand, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. And as the verse continues, it addeth no sorrows. I remember reading, and it was quite a number of years ago now, of a lady who won a fortune on the lottery. A huge amount of money. Oh, there wasn't one, well, there were some who had more sense than most. But most people, when they read her story, they said, oh, I wish I was her. But a few years later, not really that many years later, I remember reading a headline about her, and she said this, I wish I had never won that money. Why? Because it opened a door that she thought, I'm sure, as she opened the door, would bring her joy and contentment and everything she ever desired. But it didn't. It brought her misery. Now, you can hardly believe that that could be so. Or if you do believe that it was so, you probably think, well, she probably was a silly woman and didn't make good use of the money that came to her, which is, I'm sure, at least partially true. But listen, that money didn't just come on its own. For vast amounts of money like that has a whole lot of friends that it brings with it. So that you just don't get the money, but you get a whole lot of other things that come with the money. And while I can't remember all the details of her complaint at that time, I do remember that the winning of the money cost her her friends. It cost her her family. Because they all came to her virtually the next day and said, look, I have a few debts that I'm sure you know that you have all this money, and since we're related and we're friends and you know I love you and you'll settle for me, and what's more, you'll give me a little extra. And there was a long line of people who came along and did that. And of course, she had to say, no, I can't do that. That caused rows, and it cost her her family. It cost her her family. And suddenly, she had no friends from the old life that she had lived. All those who were close to her, she didn't have them anymore. And she was surrounded by greedy strangers. And she found herself living in a world she never imagined she would be in when she won that money. For she could only look out on bright, bright prospects, which evaporated, came to nothing. It is only the blessing of the Lord that maketh rich and addeth no sorrow. The prodigal learned that. The prodigal learned that. I can see him scurrying off down the road, departing from his father's house and putting his hand in his pocket and taking out the wallet and looking at all the money he now had and putting it in again and thinking, boy, oh boy, am I going to have a good time. And he probably took it out and put it in many times on the journey, anticipating just the most splendid, happy, glorious life. But what happened to him? Came to misery. Having departed from his father, having rejected his father, and making no use whatsoever of that which his father had given him, but rather wasting his substance, he brought to himself misery. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and it addeth no sorrow. Because you see, the blessing of the Lord will open doors, and they're doors that lead to only good. Only good. Unlike that woman who won the fortune and the door opened and she stepped into a world of conflict and argument and division and the loss of friends and family, and in the end she wished she had never seen the money. I'll guarantee that if I had gone to that woman the day after she won the money and she'd gotten the big check and her picture was in the paper, if I had gone to her and said, listen, it'll not be long until you wish you had never seen that money, she would have thought me a madman. But I would have been speaking the truth, and it was her that was possessed of a madness. Oh, I tell you, boys and girls, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich and addeth no sorrow. That doesn't mean that Christians don't have sorrows. They do. Do you know where they come from? They come from their own hearts. They don't come from the Lord. They don't come from His blessing. They come from their own sinful inclination. They obey sin. They turn aside from the Lord. And that's where the sorrow comes. We read of Peter weeping bitterly. What brought the tears to Peter? It wasn't the Lord. It was his denying of the Lord. And I tell you, boys and girls, Christians, they do have sorrows, but it's their own sin brings it. It's not the Lord. It's not the Lord. It's their own sin. And there's not a Christian who would argue with that if they were honest. They would know, yes, I have brought this on myself. No, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich and addeth no sorrow. I love that verse. I must say, I love that verse. And I have savored it thousands of times. Now, the verse doesn't mean that you cannot make money except you're saved. Doesn't mean that. You can make money and be the greatest rascal that ever walked. Indeed, I would say a large percentage of the money that is made by men in this world is made dishonestly and deceitfully. One day, every business transaction will be examined by the Lord, and every element of dishonesty will be seen. And I have a feeling that it will be seen that the making of money involved much that was not right. No, the verse that we're just thinking about this morning does not mean that you have to be saved in order to make money. You can make money and not be saved. You can make money and not be saved. But what it does mean is that you cannot lay up riches in heaven unless you're saved. You cannot be everlastingly rich and not be saved. The blessing of the Lord, it will make you rich for all eternity. All eternity. The prodigal went to the far country and he had a fortune in his pocket, which he wasted. There's a day coming for every Christian and they will go to a far country, a far off land, the land of Beulah, and they'll have a fortune in their pocket to enjoy forever. The blessing of God will be upon them. I've often urged you to read John Bunyan's wonderful book, Pilgrim's Progress. I hope you do get around to reading it. I hope you have read it. Well, in that book there is a passage that I have always found touching. It deals with a Christian entering heaven, and the hero of the book witnesses it. And he sees something of heaven opening up to receive the departing friend. And he catches something of a glimpse of what there is in heaven. He talks about the shining one. And he says, oh, I could wish myself amongst them. As much as our old nature loves this world and loves to live, there are times when the Christian is moved and touched by thoughts of heaven that makes them say, oh, I could wish myself there. I could wish myself there. Because there, the fortune of God waits for us. And throughout eternity, we will spend it. And when we have spent for 1,000 years, for 10,000 years, for 1,000,000 years, we'll have nothing left to spend. I'm going to Canada soon, as you know, my wife and I. And I'm afraid I'm the sort of person that thinks, you know, the day we arrive, we'll have one last day there. And then the next day, we'll have two last days there. And we're marching closer to the day we have to come home. Not because I don't want to see you again. That's not the reason. But everything here on this earth is limited. No matter how happy we are, it's limited. No matter how delightful something is, it's limited. And it'll go like the snow. But not so in heaven. Not so in heaven. All eternity. We can't take that in. All eternity. We will be everlastingly happy, enjoying the blessing of God that maketh rich. And you can only know that blessing if, unlike the prodigal, you submit to the will of your Father, obey His word, and live for Him. You can only be rich as you live for God. The Lord Jesus said in Luke chapter 12, the verse 21 and the verse 33, I've joined the two of them together. And the Lord Jesus said there, "So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." Are you laying up treasure for yourself and not serving the Lord? In that case, there's nothing but emptiness throughout eternity. The Savior's advice is found in verse 33. "Sell that ye have and give alms. Provide yourself bags which wax not old, a treasure in heaven that faileth not, where no thief approaches, neither moth corrupteth." There's only one bank that will never fail, and it's the bank of God. All other banks fail. All other financial investments here on earth will come to nothing. And earthly fortunes waste away. The thief or the rust will eventually get them. But if you serve God, you lay up treasure in heaven. Well, we didn't get too far today. We just thought of what it means to invest eternally rather than to waste what it is God gives us here in life. What have you done with the gospel? What have you done with the gospel? What have you done with the Lord Jesus Christ? Is he standing where you met him? And have you just turned your back on him, ignored him, and gone on with your life and pursuing those things that you think are pleasurable, and you've ignored the Savior? Is that what your life is? You're not laying up treasure in heaven. You're laying up for yourself eternal misery. Boys and girls, think on this. Take Christ as your Savior. Embrace him, and you will find everlasting joy. Everlasting joy. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts. Let's just bow in prayer. O God our Father, we thank thee for thy word and pray that by thy grace and power it will be applied to hearts, to all of us, Lord. For we all need to ever meditate upon this simple truth that it's only what's done for Jesus will last. Bless the school today. We thank thee that we have heard of how thou hast answered prayer for our school again. Remember all its pupils and all its teachers and the families connected with it. Lord, look down kindly upon us for Jesus' sake. Amen. Amen.